Welcome to the Getting Soul Fit podcast. I am your host, Melissa Page, addict, alcoholic turned sober and free, mental health advocate, guest speaker, fitness cover model, trauma-informed life coach, intuitive empath, lover of laughter, donuts, authenticity, and addicted to growth. Each episode, I will host a special guest or topic that will help empower you to conquer any and all obstacles and fears to rise. This show is your one-stop shop for raw truth and unapologetic growth. Welcome back to the show. You guys, I am extremely excited to introduce my next guest. You may know him as a celebrity personal trainer on the show, The Biggest Loser, from seasons 12 through 17. Special guest Dolvet Quince is a celebrity entrepreneur, fitness model, actor, personal trainer, speaker, and self-development coach based in LA. So with that being said, Dolvet, would you mind introducing yourself to the listeners?
Hi, everyone. Melissa, thank you so much for having me. I don't need to introduce myself. You did an incredible job. So thank you. And I'm really, really happy to do this with you.
I'm so excited. Yeah. So let's just jump into it. How did you start your own journey? You know, and you can go back as far as you want. Full disclosure, you know, this podcast is a mental health podcast. So frequently my guests, they disclose as much as they want from their childhood up through now. Like, what led you to where you are today?
The skinny version is what led me to my occupation today, my life choices today, in all honesty, is probably some of the tougher times in my life. Mm-hmm. And I realized through those tough times that helping people helped me.
Yep.
I knew that if I could practice giving, I could exercise that and give to myself. Like, I learned at a very young age that if I gave my time, love, and energy to someone else, I recognized how that made them feel, and it made me feel a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. And so as I got older, I started applying that method to myself, and I developed even more skills to give to others, but I now was included. So it was an emotion, a feeling, a reaction, mm-hmm. an action of lead with love that led me to my choices being, to your point, whether it was writing a book so that people, I could reach more people with mm-hmm. a certain message of self-love, whether it's training and working out and helping people understand the benefits of not just shaping and sculpting your body, but the things we don't pay attention to, mm-hmm. our blood and our organs and our bone density. But then subsequently, the other things that's attached to movement, which is mental appreciation and challenging and discipline. I love discipline, and I always have, and I always will, because mm-hmm. discipline to me makes and shapes me daily, right? And you also become an outlier, because most don't like discipline. Most are observant of it or critique it, but don't necessarily live in it. But those who live in it, those who wake up every morning to have that relentless, I'm going to do something today that challenges me, mm-hmm. then you're really alive.
Oh my God. There's so much to that. Yeah. I've come to the point in my life where I feel off if I don't do the things that the discipline that you're referring to, you know, and there's so much to that. You know, as you know, it affects your self-esteem and everything. It can completely transform and change your life and affect everyone around you. As a byproduct. So when you talk about, you know, the challenges that have shaped you, can you go over give us like one example of like one situation in your life? It could be anything that you were like, okay, I'm done, or this is enough, or I won't, or I can't, or I can overcome. And what did that look like for you?
An example of that would probably be, I'll go back to my childhood on that one. You know, I'm adopted. I have two brothers and one sister, and a Jamaican couple adopted all four of us. You know, my mother was very young when she had us. And she was young enough to care about the lack of love my father was giving her. So she would chase behind him and sometimes leave us alone. And for that reason, you know, DFACS gets involved, the government gets involved, et cetera, took us from her and put us into another home with this Jamaican couple. They had a lot of kids at the time. They were a foster care home. Kids were leaving and leaving and leaving after me and my brothers and sisters were reunited. And all of that sounds beautiful because they ended up adopting us, even though all the other kids left. 6 months later, a year later, they were like, okay, you know, we want to take in the four of you and keep you together. Wow, that's incredible. For two strangers to take in four kids. But, you know, for all of the good, there's also, it's funny, it's like you're in a relationship. In the beginning of a relationship, things are beautiful, right? But then you get into the argument, then you get into the disagreement. You
past
get
the honeymoon phase.
Right, the honeymoon phase is gone. And the honeymoon phase had a lot of pain attached to it. Some physical abuse, some mental abuse, some verbal abuse. And so I could have allowed that to define me. And I think I think deep down inside internally, it did in many ways, creating some level of self-doubt. But because I kept exercising that giving piece, it really transformed me. It was almost a tool. You know what I mean? Our experiences shape and make us. And even though I was told by my adoptive parents, you're not going to be anything, you're not going to do anything, you know, all of the ugliness and then the physical abuse, if you will, I could have really been, had a whole different life path that led me down a world of stress and depression and drugs, alcohol, all the other things that, you know, that lead us to pain. I was able to channel my pain into movement. I remember I had a martial arts instructor when I was young, but he was also a mentor. Like my mom, he taught me how to cook because he was a gourmet chef. So I was at a thing of learning, right? But then he loved me so much as a pet student. I ended up being an instructor for on days that he couldn't do it. But the discipline that he gave me and the belief that he gave me and the love of moving, like I get to move my body and challenge myself. I was like, wow, I'm so sore. But I feel good. And I learned that if I could redirect my pain and get over it, I could redirect my pain and get over anything. Right. It was a flow. If that makes sense. The flow meant if I didn't work out, I'd teach myself to hold on to pain internally with all the things I told you that they were doing and abusive, da, da, da. But because I was working out and my body was sore, and then 2-3 days later, it wasn't anymore. Like, wait a second, if I can, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the same thing emotionally. I don't have to hold on to this stuff. This outlet is helping me. That's how I was able to become and or learn not to hold on to pain, but find an escape from it.
That is so powerful. And it's like, you know, as a child, what you see in your home, good or bad, that is the world to you, right? That's the world, you know? So parents, sisters, brothers, whoever, cousins, what you see is literally laying the foundation of the in the blueprint for how you receive love, how you give love, and how you emotionally regulate and the like. But the fact that you could see what you saw and be able to go, no, that's really not normal. And I don't have to be what I'm being told. And I can transmute the pain, right? Transmuting. And that's why I feel like, you know, on a personal level, like the gym for me in many ways saved my life, you know, because it was it's an outlet, right? And now it's just a part of my life to the point where it's like, it's more than just, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. It's like, if I don't go, I feel off for the whole week. I feel completely off. I was just about to ask you, and you kind of covered it. I mean, you know, I was going to ask you who was, like, as a child, like, who was your source of love? Like, it's important to have at least one. I mean, ideally, obviously more than one, but it sounds like you had a mentor that showed you love in a way.
I've had a few. I was always that kid who admired orators, people who were well-spoken. I was that young man who in admired men who carried themselves a certain way, because that's what that was my inspiration. That was my beacon.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think of a man, Mr. Adams, who was a lawyer, but he was also an elder in the church. And all my church friends went to high school with me or middle school with me. Like we were all ingratiated in the same sort of ecosystem all the time. And then I remember, you know, my parents, being Jamaican, being Seventh-day Adventist, sitting down at church and like looking up at this guy, like, wow, I want to be him. The way he commanded the room and had a beautiful wife and three sons, and the conversations that he would sort of pull me in, because he saw that I was enamored. He saw it, you know. And we had talks and that said, your parents may not understand what they don't understand, but that doesn't necessarily mean that their pain has to be your pain.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And I received that at a young age. But I was also the kid before that writing and drawing and presenting short stories in front of the whole student body, right? I was that
wow,
kid.
Okay.
I needed to practice what I saw.
Yep.
And connect with it. So yeah, I had many mentors in my life. And I have them to this day.
That's amazing.
I believe in my heart, you should always have people in your life 10 to 20 years older than you. No matter what age you are. I mean, granted, if you're 70, you probably won't have a 100-year-old person in your life or 90-year-old person in your life.
Yeah.
But my point is, as you're growing and you're developing, you never graduate from that. And it's good to have people who have great experience in front of you and have those as your counsel. A lot of times we have the same age or under us as our counsel. And they may not know, you know, they may not have the life experience to take you from where you are to where you want to be.
Right. And that's so important. And who was it that said you're the sum of the five closest people to you? So choose wisely. Right. It's so true.
That's a simple math.
Yeah. And it's like energy is, you know, it's all the cliche hearings, all the cliche sayings that we hear often, like energy is contagious and all these things. It's so true, you know? And, yeah, I mean, it is literally who you choose in your life can dictate the course of your life in many ways, you know? So we have to be careful with that.
I also think that to that point, it doesn't have to be separate. And what I mean by that is this. Yeah, sure, the childhood had its rough patches and things of this nature, but sometimes it's through the pain that we learn the most of ourselves, not necessarily through the laughter, right?
Right.
I think you can actually have both, and in many ways you need both.
Yeah.
You know, let's break it down in the simplistic conversation of fitness. You know, and I know when we work out, it hurts. Why do we go back to the hurt? We go back to the hurt because we know the opposite feeling on the other end of it.
Right.
Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a lot of people speak to either their pain or their joy, but you need both in many ways. You got to have a bad day at work to have a great day at work.
You need the polarity and the contrast.
We all do.
Yeah.
You know, our lessons are our blessings.
Yeah.
Period. Hard exclamation right there.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. And it's usually like at the whenever, and it doesn't, I don't know, I've seen that it doesn't, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter what the challenge is, no matter what. Once you get on the other side of that, that is where the magic happens, you know, the uphill and the over. That is, to me, that's every time I've gotten to the point in my life when all of a sudden things start shifting like crazy, like at a very fast pace, and it's not comfortable and I don't like it. And I'm like, why am I running into all these things? I'm like, oh, I see what's going on right now. It's one of those tower moments, right? The universe is like karate chopping these little ideas that are no longer serving me, right? And on the other side of that, though, I know there's going to be a rainbow. I know it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not going to be handed to me on a golden platter that says easy. You know what I mean? It's just not. And you did touch on fitness, but how did you, so take me a little bit back to where, were you always active as a child, or did you kind of, how did you step into the gym? What was that experience like? Because I know for me, the first time at the gym, I was the cardio bunny that was like, I'm not getting near those guys. Grunting and lifting weights. Oh, no.
I always worked out. I mean, I started working out when I was 13 or 14 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then just developed from that. I remember I told this story before. I was in my parents' garage and my dad had this old school Oldsmobile champagne color car. I'll never forget this. And I'm on the bike and I'm outside and I drop the bike down. I run and I go inside I'm about to go inside the house. But then for some reason, I caught my reflection on that car. So it's like being at a fun house, because if I turn towards the window, the glass, I sort of looked like I had all these muscles. I was like, you know, and I'm a 13-year-old kid, like, wait a second, I got muscles.
You're
and
it flexing.
Was this moment, right? Like, I didn't realize I had muscles. Like, you know, you're pretty. So I got back on my bike and I rode to the local gym, small little whatever. And I said to him, Trey, yo, I want to work out. Teach me how to work out.
Oh, yeah.
He looks at me and he says to me, we're going to work on your legs first. I'm like, my legs, look at this. And I was so with that development. He said, no. We're going to work on what's weak to make it as strong as what's already strong.
I like that.
Like, I'm a kid and I remember that distinctly. He literally said something that said to me very quickly, yeah, what you see is already good. Let's work on the other stuff that isn't good and then you'll get strength. And I was like, ooh, that was an aha moment for me. And then
it's powerful.
I got into the martial arts and football and basketball. I started, you know, trying all the other things as I got older. Yeah, but yeah, that was the start of it.
That's funny. That's so cool though. That reminds me when I started, when I discovered fitness, I was working at a gym, ironically. But I was always like super skinny and I had super high metabolism and I was just eating. You'd be mortified. Most people would be mortified. Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, like every single day, Pizza Hut, cookies, no vegetables, barely any water, drinking a lot of alcohol, doing all the things. I wasn't gaining any weight. And then in one summer, I gained a whole bunch of weight to the point where my boss delicately said, okay, so we're having to like order your shirt every few months. You do realize you do get free personal training here because you work here, right? And I was like,
called you out.
He did call me out. But the thing that really got me is I was doing, and it wasn't a car, but I was cleaning the gym one night after that conversation. And I looked to my right and I don't even recognize myself. You know, and there were like, it was a studio, the lights were out, but I could see the reflection and I'm like, I didn't recognize myself anymore. And then there was a magazine on the floor and the magazine was open to a girl and she was shot. She was a fitness model and she was shot midair. She was doing a sprint and you could see like the biceps, the delts, you could see the form. And she looked so strong, so unbelievably strong. And I had this moment. And I grabbed the magazine and went running into the sales office and I slammed it on the desk in front of my girlfriend at work. And I was like, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, I'm going to lose the weight. I'm going to get my head straight, lose the weight, get stronger. And I think I want to become a fitness model. And she went, good luck. But that moment changed. It changed everything. You know, and the very next day I got a personal trainer. A few weeks later, I emailed the photographer. I looked him up and I said, hey, I'm not ready yet, but just so you know, I'm going to be reaching out. Right. And fast forward a year and a half later, I shot with him and it started everything.
Wow.
Just a little bit of faith, a lot of action, right. Whole lot of prayers, right. You know, but
a lot of faith.
Yeah.
A lot of faith.
And also, you know, I was born and raised in the South and I only say that to say that, you know, fried foods are like
water.
Kryptonite. They're kryptonite, right?
You see it everywhere you go.
Everywhere you go.
I lived everywhere. In the South for years. I know.
Yeah. And so, you know, I wasn't raised in an environment where we were taught like health and stuff and my whole family's into it now, which is wonderful, but yeah, I wasn't raised in that. So this was all new to me. But I did get a personal trainer and he showed me, you know, weights weren't scary. All the things that I thought, you know, yes, women can lift weights and not get super big unless they want to get super big. But what would you say to somebody who's like, never worked out a day in their life or very minimally, and they're like, I want to start. I just don't know where to start. Like, what would you say to that person?
Don't do it alone.
Yep.
So you went to a personal trainer and got some help. Don't start.
Yes.
When you start by yourself, then you're probably not as motivated. Find someone, an accountability partner. There's a plenty of online activity that you could follow via YouTube, via apps. You know what I mean? Pay attention to form. You know, we live in a place now where the information is so massive, right?
Oh my God.
Access is so massive. There's so much stuff out there. You literally can Google best workout apps, right? And you'll get that. Best ways of eating to lose 20 pounds. All the information is there. Just search for the information. You have the power still to type. And then do the research. You know, you got super excited, for example, because you saw that picture and you ran and told your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then you called the photographer and said, I'm not ready yet, but I'm coming for you. And sure enough, you kept your word. So I would say to anyone listening, keep your word with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That's first and foremost. If you say you're going to do something, do it. And the discipline and the process to do that stuff reinforces you teaching yourself to keep your word for yourself.
It rewrites your story too.
Every time.
Every time.
Every
That's amazing. Yep. I love that. I love that. And speaking of like information on the web, there's so much, as you know, like negative information, not correct, misinformation when it comes to health and fitness. And some of it's like, okay, it's not the best information or it's not the best tips or whatever. But I'm finding that some of it's quite dangerous, and people that go in there blindly can really make themselves physically ill and not well for an aesthetic. So what is like one thing that maybe you've seen, it could be recent or not as recent, that's trending, that you are like, hell no. Can you speak to that?
What is a hell no?
Mm-hmm.
That's out there. I don't know. What is a hell no that is out there? I would say probably I don't know. I have my opinions. You know
you
what I mean?
You can share your opinions.
I have my opinions. I don't believe one way of eating is for one person.
I agree. 100%. Yep.
Right. Do the carnivore diet, do the South Beach diet, do the paleo diet, do the keto diet. I don't think one form of eating is for one person or one style of eating. I believe like the way we train and the diversity that we give our muscles, organs, blood, bones is the same diversity we should give our eating habits. For example, people shouldn't just lift weights. You should lift weights. Do cardio, do yoga, stretch. Like there's many modalities I just mentioned. It's the same way of eating. For example, I was a big meat eater, burgers and steak. And about 5-6 years ago, I literally stopped eating meat and chicken.
Oh, okay.
I noticed that when I ate chicken, I hurt my stomach. The hormones sometimes will create some, maybe it was the fried chicken with the grease. I noticed that when I ate a lot of dairy and eggs, I felt inflamed. I felt bloated. I felt, you know, all these other symptoms occurred to me. So I made adjustments. I became pescatarian. Well, first I became vegan, then vegetarian. And then I like them textures. So I became pescatarian.
Right.
When I landed in the pescatarian space for the last 6 years, I felt really good. I felt really, really good. My body responded very well. Recently, I started reintroducing lamb and steak into my diet. I spent a 6-year course of eating a specific way. My body said to me, let's get another source of protein for many reasons. I didn't want my mercury levels to go up with all the fish I was taking in.
Right.
I wanted to give that part of my habit a break. I'm still eating fish and oysters and things of this nature on this side. But now I'm introducing another source of protein, which is creating a different sort of development in my body, right? And I'm going to take this course maybe for a year or 2 years, that course of eating, that style of eating. So that would probably be one of the misnomers that people have that are I can only eat paleo. I don't believe that.
Yes.
I think every 6 to 7 years, our body's already changing.
Yep.
Listen to that adjustment. You know, stay within a certain portion control. I do have absolutes. I believe in absolutes. My absolutes are, yeah, I'm out of the restaurant. I don't have bread at night. So the first thing, their bread, nope, absolutely will not. They're bringing out some cheese. No, I know what that makes me feel. Absolutely not, right? So have absolutes, but always be mendable to the adjustment.
Yeah, and it sounds like listen to your body.
Yeah, your body's going to tell you.
Your body will tell you, like, I can't do soy, you know, and I have friends that do great with a lot of sodium. I don't, you know, and it's just,
listen
on the other
body.
Hand, I don't do as bad with sugar in moderation. But yeah, listen to your body, you know. Okay, so I wanted to switch gears real quick. So what is one of your most memorable moments in your career? And you can speak to, you're an entrepreneur, so any of them, so to speak.
The most memorable moment in my career.
Yeah. I have so many,
you know what I mean? I'm an old guy. I've been doing this for a long time.
No, you're not old.
I can think of a time on set at Biggest Loser, me being the new guy on set. That was an incredible moment for me. I remember day one, and there are these army hangars of this huge helicopter, massive, that we had to go in to, we being me and the other two trainers. Anna Kournikova, the famous tennis player, was the other trainer on my first season, my very first day. Bob Harper's doing it since the consumption of this, from the beginning of the show, right? So they were already known. The concept that day of the opening scene was, it was Battle of the Ages. And I'll never forget this.
Oh, okay.
Battle of the Ages meant certain age group, five people in their older ages, latter ages, still had weight problems, etc. Middle age people in their 30s and 40s, and then younger people in their 20s. So the introduction was them making the announcement voiceover. Now Bob Harper, and Bob comes off of that, his hangar, his plane, if you will, out in this dry lake desert, helicopters everywhere. They introduce him. He goes stand in his section. They introduce Anna. And I'm like, fuck, here I come. I mean, nobody knows me, but let me do this. And I come out.
Yeah.
The contestants are staring at us. And then they're like waiting to see who's coming out there. They're part of the introduction, all the three age groups. I come out. They're like, oh, he's so stacked. This whole celebration, right? The opening scene was, okay, guys, now you have this. You've met the people. This is what we're doing. You're getting back into this bus van. We're going to drive you a mile out. You guys have to run as a group, and you get to pick which trainer you want to stay with or be with for that season.
Oh, my gosh.
So their first day, now, obviously, you know the show is about people who are obese and suffer with their weight, etc., had to run and or walk a mile, and then as a group collectively pick the trainer they want. So in my mind, I'm going to be last. No one knows who I am. I'm the third guy on the show. I don't have any popularity. There's no one who knows Don Vett. They know Anna Kournikova. They know Bob Harper. They watch the show. The first group comes. It's the middle age group, and they run straight to Bob. You got to expect it. He's a seasoned guy. There's going to happen. The next group's coming is the younger kids. Right, those 20, 25-year-old. I was waiting mentally for the last group to come to me. The second group, they're running, they're running. And they beeline, they're coming towards Anna. And as a collective, like you could see in a safari, as the water buffalo all goes, they turn towards me and landed with me. I was like, oh, it was such a huge celebration. Like,
we want to be, that just gave me chills.
It was such a beautiful moment for me, because I immediately said to them in that moment, well, first I said to myself and to God, thank you for this opportunity. I'm not going to make this about me. Hey, I'm Dalbert Quince, and I'm on TV, and the world's going to know me. Took all of my experience, all of my conversations, all of my helping skills over the years, and I said, thank you for choosing me. I am going to dedicate my life, this moment, and this experience to pour it to each and every one of you. Everything I know about health, about mindset, about self-care, I am now working for you. Ego aside, right? I took advantage of the moment. And I think that in itself brought me a longevity of being on the show for 7 seasons, et cetera, et cetera. That beginning.
Yeah, because you really, I feel like you can only really help people when you don't have the ego that's all wrapped up in it. Without right?
I'm so lucky to have had life choices and a career that insisted that I help people.
Yeah. You know?
It insisted it. It wasn't like, hey, I'm going to do this because I'm so used to just, you know, being a money manager and making money and that's all I care about. No, it was about setting my life up to say, you know, how can I be in a position of service? How can I be a position of a transparency? And it's developed me in many ways that are beautiful.
Yeah. It's like, it's your why, right?
Every day.
That is the thing. When you're able to truly live out your why and your why is helping others, you're really living, you know?
Facts.
It's the best life to live. I truly believe that. When you're able to like help somebody, when you're able to help somebody, but actually see the light come on in their eye, where they have that moment that you had when you saw yourself when you were running by the car. That's sure. Me. Wow. Like, look what I can do now. And look what I could possibly do in the future. I can have that thing or that future or whatever, however you want to phrase it. It's not a dream. Like it's actually within reach. I can touch it.
Sure.
You know, and
shout out to those who do it every day.
Yeah.
Shout out to you for a platform decided to, you know, I need to share my story. I want to hear other stories. Because people come on here and they get to relive some of the stuff they may have suppressed and or tend to ignore. But because they speak to it, it reignites them potentially, even if it's just for that day, to be reminded of why they do what they do, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. And I'm so grateful to watch everyone else coming up under me, these trainers and these influencers who are, even though I'm still heavy into the game, but who are figuring out ways to work in the self-development space and really make an impact.
Yeah.
Like that to me is key. It's like, you're not just doing it because it's the cool thing. You're doing it because you've dedicated your life to it. And there are still millions of people that suffer from mental health. There's still millions of people that suffer from physical health, you know, and have a combination of both. But there are other people out there like ourselves that are helping people navigate through a better version of themselves.
Yeah. And I mean, to take a step further, they're not just rewriting their stories, but they're also like, in many cases, they're breaking generational trauma. You 100%. Know, they are the person that their ancestors wanted to meet.
100%.
You know what I mean? And that's the beauty. I mean, social media is not always the best thing. There's definitely a downside to it, but the upside to it is that you are able to connect with so many people, and you are able to make an impact. Whereas maybe a long time ago, it wouldn't have been as accessible or as easy, you know? And I do think that like, I think it's great that people are talking more mental health and not just physical, because it's never just physical. You know,
there's more weight on the body than there is on the brain.
Yeah. And it, you know, like trauma, like lies in our body. Right. Which is why we're so enticed, especially when you're going through something, like, why are you so enticed to move? And it's like, well, yeah, because all this trauma is like, get out of here, you know? Yeah. And it's important. It's important to move through it. So one thing I was noticing when I was looking at your links and everything, I was like, you do wellness retreats. Can you speak to that? Because that's pretty freaking awesome. And I did not know that about you.
I have a company called Tabula Rasa Retreats.
Okay.
The word Tabula Rasa is essentially, it means having an open mind to start something new, right?
A blank slate.
A blank slate, 1,000%. Yeah. So our company, myself and my business partner, Roxy Robinson, we met in South Africa back in 2015. Mm-hmm. And we started. During the pandemic, 2020 was our first group. And mm-hmm. obviously we had to refund people their money, et cetera, et cetera. It's an incredible retreat where the setup is, because we have such great relationship with hospitality and hotels, mm-hmm. we give other trainers and self-development coaches and masseuse and all these other people that are in the wellness space, mm-hmm. they utilize our umbrella and then they plug in their people to it. So we give discounted rates on hotels. We give you access to places in the world because we do all the logistics in the mm-hmm. background. And these professionals come in and say, I have 10 people, I have 20 people, I have 100 people, mm-hmm. but I don't want to deal with the logistics. I just have these people, I'm going to get them to sign up. So we created a business model where people like yourself and other people mm-hmm. who have other trainers and clientele and have a community, they want to go places, we'll take care of it for you.
That's awesome. I was actually just, I'm like, oh, it's a synchronicity. I'm all big into synchronicities and signs and all that fun woo-woo stuff. But I was just talking to a friend earlier this morning, actually, about, because we've been talking for a couple years now. Like, we want to do a retreat. You know, yeah. He's a life coach. And I have a few other friends like into Reiki and nutritionists yeah. and all the fun stuff, right? Think, you know, like a full mind, body, soul kind of a retreat. Like in Bali or Mexico right? And so I saw the link and I was like, ooh, you know, so that's really cool to know.
I'm in the middle of, which actually towards the end of it now, we're almost signing a deal with a major corporation, a mm-hmm. major hotel, hospitality corporation that we will do an exclusive deal with them here very, very soon.
Oh, nice.
Their entire umbrella will be the mm. wellness retreat company that handles all the logistics of their wellness locations around the world. So Spain, South Africa, Germany, wherever you want to go in the world,
yeah,
US, abroad, domestically, overseas, we're going to be the source to handle those things. So it's an incredible time. I mean, if you mm-hmm. really want to talk about it more, we can dive in and I
do. It's on my list. I'm looking at my list right now. I got a whole list going.
Let's chat. We can set you up. Seriously. You have an incredible team of yeah. people who work with us. So let me know.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So what message do you want to leave with the audience today?
What's been on my heart today? I would say this. Just believe, man. Believe. It may sound cliche. It may sound like a punchline, mm-hmm. but it's more something. Take those two intentional thoughts out of your mind and hear when I say that word, believe. Because if you believe in anything, because we lean so much into doubt, we lean so much into skepticism. We don't necessarily lean into, I'm going to make the impossible possible.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I'm going to take this blank canvas and I can already see what's going to be painted on it. There's mm-hmm. a mindset that people are afraid to tackle, and that is the do it anyway mindset. Do mm-hmm. it anyway. Because in the do it anyway portion of it, it has to start with a high level of faith, a high level of belief, and protect that belief. Sometimes when you have an idea and you tell it to people, they're not in that frequency.
Oh, that's so important. You guys write this down. That's,
you know, yeah. I read something the other day that
yes.
said, what you do frequently determines your frequency.
Okay.
I love that. Like that was to me was a punch in the gut. Like, yep. So mm-hmm. think about that. If I frequently complain, if I frequently have fear, if I frequently don't, if I talk from a voice that says, nah, that can't happen. You know what I really don't like? And I start not even realizing it, that my frequency is negative.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing really good that attaches itself to negative. It stays in that frequency. But if I cut that off and I start mm-hmm. saying something positive, like, I think this is going to happen. I know this is going to happen. That frequency of materializing, not manifesting, materializing goes a long way. So my advice to your audience today is just to believe.
And that's so powerful.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we were kind of speaking to energy earlier, but it's how much energy do you put into, you know, you're saying believe, like how much energy? It takes a lot of energy to complain. It really does. And so, you know, you only have so much energy in a day. So like, where are you putting it? Right. And I saw a quote once that said something like do it anyway. Yes. But like, be willing to fail forward. Right.
Every
like
day.
just it's still moving forward. Even if you fall face plant, which a lot of us have done, all of us have done at one point, right? It's okay. Because these bruises that you get when you, what did you learn? What did you learn when you fell?
Yeah.
What did you pick up when you were standing up from falling? Right. Yeah. That is the path right there for me. Thank you so much for your time today. This was absolutely amazing. And I was like finding myself like, I need to take notes. So of course, like I'm going to like the nerd that I am when I'm editing later, I'm going to be like taking notes, like, student, you know, like I need to, it's got me all pumped up, you know, like when I watch one of those motivational movies, yeah, like it really does.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it.
Yes.
You know, you guys, I'm going to link Dolvet's links and the show notes to contact him, book him or his amazing wellness retreats, or to even connect if you have questions. Please also be sure to check out the show notes for more resources and links. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to refer a friend. If you're new and you would like to receive breakthrough sessions or any information from me, please send me an email or connect with me at the Melissa Page on Instagram. And I promise to only send you the good stuff. Give it up to the warriors, standing for a change. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out the show notes for today's details on the show and be sure to share with a friend and subscribe. I really love hearing feedback from you, so please leave a review and let me know what resonated in the comments. Just a reminder, you matter, you are amazing, and you are a warrior.